Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you've joined us this week as we continue in our study of the Gospels, and in particular in the study of the Gospel of John, until we catch up to the other three Gospels at the triumphal entry in John chapter 12. Now, we are in John chapter 4, which is chock-a-block full of spiritual truth, wonderful truth, and we're going to be there again this week. And I hope you've been with us as we've been working our way through this chapter. It's just an amazing chapter, but the whole Bible is amazing. And remember what we teach. We teach what? The Bible. Say it with me. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives, which is what we're going to do today. So let's pray. And let's take a moment and ask the Lord to cleanse our hearts from our sinfulness this week, sinful things we did and said and thought, and really open our heart to hear from Him today. Lord Jesus, thank you that the Bible says if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, as we, like the tax collector in the parable, beat on our breast and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me." Lord, perform that wonderful ministry of forgiveness in our heart and cleanse us so the Holy Spirit can flow freely through us and in us. Make us open to your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, and what? Amen. You got it. Okay, just before we dig into the Gospel of John chapter 4, just let me mention to you two quick things. Number one, we're still going on the footsteps of St. Paul, Lord willing, leaving on April 22. Go on the website. And I'd love to have you join us to go to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Rome, following Paul's missionary journeys from Acts 16 forward to the end of the book of Acts. Love to have you. All you need to do is be vaccinated. That's it. And also, we just posted our brochure online for our Holy Land tour coming up in the end of October. And we would love to have you join us for that. So check it out. You can print it off. It's a PDF. And we're taking registrations now for both tours. So come with us and let the Bible come alive to you. All right. Now, John chapter 4, Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And we've already covered part of the chapter. We've already looked at the conversation that the Lord and this woman have had about living water. And let's pick up now in chapter 4, verse 25. As this conversation comes to an end, let's put it on the screen, verse 25. And of course, New American Standard Bible for the Old Testament and the New King James Version of the Bible for the New Testament. Here we go. And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming." And then in parentheses, John adds, "who is called Christ." The word Christ, Christos, in Greek, and the word Messiah, Mashiach, in Hebrew, mean the same thing. They mean the anointed one. So when we say Jesus Christ, Christ is not Jesus's last name. They didn't really have last names. The closest thing they had was son of, you know, Simon, son of Jonah, or Jesus, son of Joseph. But Christ is not his last name. Christ means the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah. Okay, now, and when he comes, she says in verse 25, "he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And we said before, this is the most outspoken and clear declaration that Jesus makes of his own messiahship up to this point in the Gospels. He just puts it right out there for this lady and just says to her, hey, you're talking to the Messiah. Now, verse 27, and at this point, his disciples came. Now, where were his disciples? If you remember, let's look back to verse 8 in chapter 4. It says, for his disciples had gone away into the city of Sychar to buy food while they left Jesus resting at the well. Okay, back to verse 27. At this point, his disciples came with the food and they marveled that he talked with a Samaritan woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking to her? And the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men in the city, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Christ? Now remember, this woman didn't have a real high moral standing in the minds of the people in this city. That's why she'd come to the well at noon when no one was going to be there, so she didn't have to put up with their judgments and their sneering and their condemnation because of her way she was living with her, was shacking up with this guy who, after five husbands, she was living with, okay? But she was still bold enough to go into the city and say, it doesn't matter what you think of me, you got to come see this guy. Look, then they went out of the city and they came to Jesus, the whole city. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Remember, they had gone to get food for him. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? What's he talking about? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I love this. Jesus says that when you're doing the work of God, as God calls you to, it's like a spiritual food to your body and your mind and your spirit that brings strength. That's what food brings. It brings stamina. That's what food brings. It brings nourishment. That's what food brings to our bodies, physical food. Jesus said, when you're doing the work of God, there is a spiritual strength and a spiritual stamina and a spiritual healthiness that God sends to our spirit and our bodies that come from the Holy Spirit, that special joy, that special food that he gives when we're serving God and doing the will of God. Now, friends, this is still true today. And it's not just for preachers. It's for anyone who's doing the will of God for their life. Maybe teaching a Sunday school class, or maybe acting as an aide in Sunday school or working in an Awana program with young children or young adults. Maybe it's being a small group leader and serving the Lord that way, or preaching in the jails, or preaching down at the homeless mission, or helping to serve food down at a homeless mission. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe it's teaching a Bible study. Maybe it's just being a prayer warrior. When you get up off your knees, man, God has fed you on your knees for being a prayer warrior and doing that his will for your life. And maybe it's being a plumber or an electrician or a butcher or baker or a candlestick maker and doing it as under the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, do all things heartily as under the Lord, not under man. And God feeds your soul and my soul and our bodies as well. This is what Jesus is talking about, this supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit when we are doing the will of God in our life. Okay. Now, what was the will of God for him, though? Well, it was several things, but one of them, look what he says, verse 35. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Okay, so when would this have been? So 4 months before September, August, July, June. This maybe would have been in May that this actually happened, or June. I don't know, possibly. But Israel, the weather's so great, they have several harvests a year. So there's no way to know for sure. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now, I don't know if you grew up on a farm or if you have any experience with a farm, but let me show you what happens when fields of wheat or barley get ready for harvest. Let's put this picture up. Look at this. From a distance, it looks white. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. When you see that field turn white like this, you know it's time to go out there and harvest. Jesus said, but when it comes to the fields of humanity, it's always harvest time. The harvest is always ready. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about harvesting souls. Now, for the kingdom of God, he's talking about harvesting souls unto eternal life. He's talking about harvesting people's hearts to come to Christ and to become children of God and to have their sins forgiven and to receive eternal life. This is what Jesus says. He said, this is the Father's will that I'm doing. I'm seeking out people and trying to give them eternal life. Now, of course, ultimately, the will of God for his life was to go to the cross and give his life and shed his blood to pay for our sin, of course. But while he was here on earth, he's seeking to bring people to Christ, all right? And remember what he said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost, talking about lost people. This is God's will, part of God's will for his life. And he said, I've been doing that while you guys were gone. And I'm full from the Holy Spirit, just filling me with joy and filling me with satisfaction and filling me with satiation because of my doing the will of God while y'all were gone, talking to this woman about her soul. You understand? And then he goes on to say, look at verse 36. And he who reaps receives wages. Now stop for a second. Friends, when we go out and we share Christ and we have the privilege now and again to lead someone to Christ, God says we're reaping wages for ourselves in heaven. There are rewards in heaven. The Bible's very clear about this. And apparently some of those rewards are given to people who are serious about being soul winners, who are serious about getting out there and trying to reach lost people. Yeah, okay. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Other men have labored, and you have entered into their labors. What does that mean? Well, friends, it simply means that often the person who sows the seed of the gospel and the person who reaps the fruit of the gospel when it takes root in a person's heart, they're not the same person. Often a grandmother prays and shares the Lord and takes her grandchildren to church and just pours her heart out, and she leaves to go to be with the Lord, and those children, those grandchildren come to Christ later after she's gone. She sowed, somebody else, a pastor, a friend, reaped by leading these people to Christ. You understand? That happens all the time, where the person who sowed the seed in your life is not the one who reaps it. Now, in my case, Bob Eckhart sowed the seed and then he reaped it. So that was a great privilege to get to do that. You don't often get to do it. But Coralie Goodman, who prayed for me for 22 years, sowed the seed also in prayer. She didn't get to reap it. She didn't get to lead me to Christ, but she still sowed the seed. You understand what we're saying here? So the disciples are going to go out And for some people, they're going to sow the seed. And for other people, they're going to reap the seed that somebody else sowed, either in prayer or in verbally witnessing about the Lord to someone. Okay, we together now. All right. Now, that's the end of this passage. That's as far as I want to go, because I want to ask our most important question now. So are you ready? Come on now. Are you ready? Here we go. Come on now with me. One, two, three. So what? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And you know what we say? What do we say? What do we say? How sweet it is. You bet. To be sharing the word of God together and learning the word of God together and experiencing the truth and the power of the word of God together in our lives. Now, what difference does this make for us, what Jesus just said to his disciples? He's challenging them, Jesus is, to see the world the way he sees it. Jesus sees the world. And when he was on earth, he saw the world as a huge field in which there were people who were ready to be harvested for the kingdom of God. And I know that may sound wrong to say people being harvested, but this is a good word. Jesus uses it here. To reap souls, it's not a bad word. This is something you do when something reaches maturity, a grain, a wheat, or barley. Then you harvest them. And when someone reaches maturity of conviction by the Holy Spirit that they need Christ, then what do? We come through and we reap that and bring and close the deal with them and bring them to Christ. This is how Jesus saw the world, that there are people out there ready. That this woman at the well was ready. And as we're going to read in just a few minutes, let me read it right now to you. And many of the Samaritans, verse 39, of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And look at this, and many more believed because of his own word. Because when he was there, he preached, he taught. Verse 42, and they said to the woman, gosh, I love this. Now we believe, not because of what you said, for now we have heard for ourselves him and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow. They said, you know, your testimony was great, but now we've heard him ourselves. And we're not believing just because of your testimony now. We're believing because we heard him and we know he's the Savior of the world. Friends, there were a whole lot of people in that village that were white unto harvest. And the Lord Jesus reaped so many souls for the kingdom of God in that village. It was wonderful what happened in that village. Now, what does that mean for us? It means we need to see the world that way. We need to understand that out there, there are people who are ready to come to Christ. There are people with whom the Holy Spirit's been working. There are people whom the Holy Spirit has completely gotten their heart ready. As I said last week, they're like low-hanging fruit, ready to be picked for the kingdom of God. And when we share Christ out there, these people will be like I was with Bob Eckhart. I mean, Bob Eckhart didn't have to work real hard to lead me to Christ. I was ready. But he never would have known it just by looking at me walking down the street. He had to step out and take the risk of sharing with me in order to discover whether I was white unto harvest. Now, let me just say, he came to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, back when I was there. In 1971, going to UNC, and he stood for 6 months every Saturday on the street giving out tracts, looking for people who were white unto harvest. As far as we know, he and I'm the only person that came to Christ during those 6 months as a direct result of his ministry. You say, you mean to tell me there's only one person in Chapel Hill that was white unto harvest during those 6 months? Friends, you needed to know Chapel Hill when I was here. But I don't know. I'm just telling you, God, I feel, sent Bob there for me. There may have been other people who came to Christ, but we don't know about it. But there was one. And Bob and I used to talk all the time. He's passed away now, but we would talk once a month in the days before he passed away. And he felt so guilty because he had a terrible illness. And he couldn't go out and share the Lord on the street anymore. And he felt so guilty. And I said, Bob, don't you understand? All the people that Christ is using me to reach come back on you. They get credited to your account because you're the one led me to Christ. So if God's used me to touch tens of thousands of people, Bob, which he has, that's okay if you're sitting on your front porch now. You reach me and those souls come back to you as wages. You understand? I don't know, friends. I'm just telling you, I was white unto harvest. That's for sure. And Bob, by coming there and sharing the gospel, I appeared. I became obvious. I became evident to him that I was white unto harvest. Now, this reminds us, of course, of Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower and the seed. Let me read that parable to you. Matthew chapter 13. Look with me at verse 3. And Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed, the seed here is the gospel, right? Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, but because they had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus interpreted this parable a little later, and he says, the first soil, the hard soil, are the people who are just totally not interested, and Satan comes and takes the seed away. And the second seed is the seed that has no root. And when the persecution and the price that we have to pay to follow Christ shows up, we wither and die. And the third, the thorns, is seed that falls among people who have a divided heart. And a divided mind. They want Christ on one hand and they want the world's things on the other hand. And so the deceitfulness of riches, Jesus says, choke the seed and make it unfruitful. But the fourth soil is good soil, and the seed sprouts and it germinates and it bears fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Doesn't bear the same fruit in everybody, but every piece of good soil bears fruit for the kingdom of God. And this is how you know it's good soil. You can't see people's hearts, but you can see the fruit. And if somebody says they've trusted Christ and there's no fruit, no fruit in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, no fruit in terms of a changed earthly life, hey, something's wrong, because every piece of good soil bears fruit. And by the way, if you're not bearing fruit, friends, there's something wrong. You may have gone forth in a church, or you might have prayed a prayer with an evangelist on television, but if there's no fruit of a transformed life and a transformed heart and the Holy Spirit living in your life, then something's wrong. You didn't get the real McCoy. Well, anyway, that's for another message, but just let me say that. Now, here's the point. Folks, we're to be the sower and go out and scatter the seed everywhere we go. Just scatter it. We don't have to look in particular for good soil. You know why? Because the parable says that Some will fall on bad soil. Some will fall on thorny soil. Some will fall on shallow soil. Ah, but friends, some will fall on good soil. There is good soil out there. Friends, there are people out there who are ready to receive Christ. There are people out there who are white unto harvest and are ready to be reaped in the nice, in the proper sense of that word and come to Christ. Maybe other people sowed the seed in their life, but we're the ones that come along and harvest it. Yeah, they're out there, but they're not going to come to Christ unless you and I sow seed on them, unless we throw the gospel on them. I never would have come to Christ possibly if Bob Eckhart hadn't been there throwing seed every Saturday on me, and it sprouted. And that was 50 years ago, and it's still bearing fruit. Praise the Lord. Somebody had to be there and sow seed. And that's our job, your job, my job. It was the disciples' job. Jesus was trying to teach them. You go out there and sow, and you're going to find some good soil. Yeah, you'll find hard soil, and you'll go, oh, and you'll find shallow soil, and things will spring up and look good for a while, and then all of a sudden it'll just dry up and die, and you'll go, oh, and you'll find thorny soil where people just cannot separate themselves from this world, and you'll go, oh, but then you'll find some good soil, and then you'll go, oh, wow, it's awesome. This is why in Mark's gospel, Jesus says, Mark 16:15, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel, because there's good soil out there just waiting. Friends, now this is our job. And just let me say that 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, let's put it up on the screen, all right? Always be ready to give a defense to everyone, some translations, an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, but do it with meekness and fear. Do it politely. But friends, look, people aren't going to ask you about the gospel unless they see the hope that is in you. And let's go back to the beginning of the verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and then always be ready to give an answer. Some translations translate the beginning of this, but exalt Jesus as Lord in your heart. Others, but worship Christ as Lord in your hearts. Others, dedicate your lives to Christ as Lord in your hearts. Others, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. What's this mean? It means, friends, when we go out, that witnessing, and this is so important, don't miss this, is an overflow of being filled with the Spirit. Witnessing is an overflow of having Christ as Lord in our life, and having reiterated that in the morning before we ever left our house, because only then is the hope of the Holy Spirit shining through our eyes so that people will ask about it and we can answer them. Only when we're filled with the Holy Spirit will we have a passion to share Christ. Let me repeat that. Only when we are filled with the Holy Spirit will we have a passion to preach and share Christ. And that's why I used to look at church people singing when we would worship. And you know what I would notice? There were some people out there who were completely and utterly into it. Why? Because worship is an overflow of the filling of the Spirit. That morning, they had reiterated and given their life to Christ afresh and confessed their sins afresh and maybe had their quiet time and re-attuned their heart to the Lord, rebooted their heart afresh. And man, they came to church ready to worship. And then there were other people standing out there like just like statues. Why? Because worship has to overflow. It's an overflow. It's a result of being filled by the Holy Spirit. Friends, witnessing is a result of being filled by the Holy Spirit. And that's why if you're not witnessing and you don't have this passion to share Christ, I'm telling you why. It's not that you don't know you should do it. You know that if you're a Christian. It's that you're not filling up with the Holy Spirit so that you're ready to overflow with the excitement that you have of just having been with the Lord that very morning. You with me? Okay. Now, said Lon, but how do I do this? Well, we talked about that last week about floating balloons and things. But friends, my suggestion in addition to that is always have something with you that you can physically leave with a person that you can give to them. Now, me, I carry my business cards, and on the back is a QR. We turn my testimony into a QR that they can scan right into their telephone. And they get my whole testimony as it is on our website, the whole thing. Because I give the gospel as part of that. And that works great. I always give that to people. But if you don't have your story on QR, whatever, then I recommend that you carry with you the four spiritual laws, originally written by Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ, now Crew. Just an amazingly wonderful, simple tract that explains the gospel in a way that everybody can understand. And keep it in your pocket. Keep it in your purse, wherever. And always have them with you. And always be able to say after a conversation that, hey, you know, let me give you something. What's in this little booklet totally transformed and changed my life, and it will yours if you take it to heart. It's wonderful to share Christ, but leaving people with something that they can take home and read is so important. And you can order the Four Spiritual Laws online. I just checked today. It's readily available. It's not expensive. And I would just make it a habit to always have these with you, because you never know when you're going to run into somebody that's good soil. And just offer them to everybody you meet, to the person checking you out at the grocery store, to the person checking you out at the pharmacy, to the FedEx or the UPS or the DHL person that comes to your front door, to the person, the Amazon person delivering to you, people delivering meals to you at night, if you're ordering out, or whatever, everywhere you go, everybody you see, everybody you meet. Now, how are you going to know if they're white under harvest versus hard soil, thorny soil, or shallow soil? How are you going to know if you don't offer them something like this? And believe me, the soil that's ready for harvest will show up. It's there. It's there. But you and I have to take the first step to sow the seed. Notice the soil didn't reveal itself till the seed landed on it. Are you with me? And people often don't reveal themselves till the seed lands on it. I was just walking by as a hippie with long hair. Bob had no way of knowing I was good soil till he threw the seed on me. And let me suggest you be bold about it, respectful, but bold. You don't have anything to apologize for. The gospel can handle itself. Martin Luther used to say the gospel's like a lion in a cage. All you have to do is open the cage and let the lion out. You don't have to defend the lion. He can take care of himself. So can the gospel. And so you'll figure out a nice, comfortable way of saying to people, you know, I want to leave you with something. This changed my life. And it'll change yours too, if you'll take heed to it. What's it about? It's about Jesus. Don't be afraid to say that. And then you'll find out what kind of soil you're dealing with. Some people will say, oh, great, thank you. And they'll put it in their pocket and they will actually read it. Some of them will come to Christ, and some people will throw it right back at you, no matter what you try to say to them. Okay, well, by giving out the seed, the soil revealed itself. Good soil's out there, though. Let me close with a quick story. Brendan and I were flying somewhere a couple months ago, and we were in the airport, and the flight was just getting ready to start boarding, but not quite. And there was a Starbucks like 50 steps from us, not even that far, 30 steps. And I said, I'm going to run over. I want to get a cup of coffee. And Brenda said, okay, get me one. And I said, okay. You say, what does Brenda like? She likes lattes, iced lattes, in case you ever want to get her coffee. Okay. What do you like? I got to drink decaf coffee because of my heart condition. I mean, whatever. Okay. So I went over, and there were two cashiers, taking orders that were standing there together sharing the same counter, but about 5 feet apart. And so I went to the one. They were both young ladies. I went to the one and I ordered my coffee and Brenda's. And I said, oh, I'd like to give you something. And she goes, oh, what? So I had my card. I said, I'd like to give you this. This is my card. This is my name, Lon Solomon, on the front. And then I said, if you flip it over on the back, I said, I'm a Jewish person who believes in Jesus. And this is my story of how I came to believe in Jesus. You just QR it in your phone. No viruses, I promise. And my whole story will come up. It's a, I got led to Christ by a street preacher, I told her, when I was on drugs. It's an amazing story. And I think it might really be helpful. You might enjoy it. And she goes, no, I don't want that. And I said, well, why not? I mean, you know, I don't want to be rude or anything, but it can't hurt you it can't possibly hurt you just to listen to my story. She said, no. She said, I don't need it. And I said, well, how do you know you don't need it until you listen to it? She said, I'm a pagan. I'm a declared pagan. And I said, well, then you really need this. You really need this. And she goes, I don't want it. And I said, you sure? And she took it out of my hand. And at first I thought, oh, boy. And you know what she did? She turned around behind her and threw it in the trash can. Ha! I said, no, 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 don't throw it in the trash can. Those cards cost, they're not inexpensive. I said, no, 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 don't throw that in the trash can, please. Please don't throw that in the trash can. And the other girl working at the other register, the girl who was in front of me just completely ignored me and walked off. But the girl working at the other register came over. You're not going to believe this. And she actually went into the trash can and dug my card up. And she said, you ready? She said, well, if she's not going to listen to it, I want to listen to it. And I was like, well, there you go. And I said, I'd love for you to listen to it. And she said, I'm going to. And she put it in her pocket. How about that? I was so discouraged at first with the girl I was trying to give it to. Like, oh, come on, please don't go. And then the girl next door who was listening to this whole conversation, she's only 5 feet away, and my voice isn't exactly hard to hear, came over and said, well, if she's not going to listen to it, I want to. How great is that? And I've been praying for this girl. I don't know her name. You can pray for her that she'll come to Christ. And somebody's going to lead her to Christ to be the one who reaps when I sowed. You follow me? Just like Jesus said, I sowed, and somebody else is going to reap, I hope. Hey. Was there good soil out there at Starbucks? Yeah. Was it the girl I thought I tried to give it to? No. But that doesn't matter. There was good soil 5 feet away. And that good soil came to the surface and revealed itself as soon as I tried to sow onto the hard soil. Now, friends, there's good soil out there. You go out and sow and you will find it. I promise you. That's our job. That's our mission. That's our calling. We are here to sow the seed, to reap if we can, but to sow everywhere we go. There ought to be a trail of seed behind you everywhere you go, friend. It ought to be just like, this is a terrible example, but you're pig pen and the dirt just follows you everywhere you go. You remember pig pen? Now, well, we're Christians and the seed follows us everywhere we go. It's on the ground all around us, everywhere we go, seed. And some of it's going to sprout and bear fruit, and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the privilege you've given us to be sowers of the seed. And Lord, I thank you for people like Bob Eckhart, who sowed the seed onto my life, and Coralie Goodman, who sowed the seed in prayer onto my life. So that I know you today, and I'm on my way to heaven today. And Lord, every one of us here who knows Christ, somebody sowed the seed on our life, and it bore fruit. And Lord, thank you for these people. Now help us to emulate these people. And like Peter said, help us to always be ready to give an answer to people. Always be ready to sow the seed with people everywhere we go, Lord. Forgive us for being ashamed of the gospel. Forgive us for being embarrassed about the gospel. Forgive us, Lord, for being timid about the gospel, because maybe we're afraid it can't handle itself. The gospel can handle itself. And Lord Jesus, forgive us for drawing back. Make us bold and excited about sharing Christ, because we've been with you that very morning and we're full of you as we go out into the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. And what was that I just did? Come on, tell me. What was it? Come on, tell me. It was what? Preaching. Yeah, it was. Okay. Well, I'm preaching to myself. I need that encouragement. I need that exhortation. I need to be admonished every day to sow seed everywhere I go, because I can get lazy just like you, or I can get embarrassed sometimes just like you, or I can, frankly, get laissez-faire about the whole thing sometimes just like you. But thank God for the word that rebukes us and admonishes us and says, oh no, 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 fill yourself with me and then go out there and sow the seed, baby. Go sow the seed, baby, and you'll find good soil. Hey, thanks for being with us. God bless you. And hope we'll see you next week on Live with Lon. Check out my tours. Love for you to go. God bless.